It is Big Ten ACC Challenge, one of my favorite times of the year. We're going to dive into Syracuse's matchup with Indiana in just a little bit, get into some of the defensive stuff. Also, we'll hear from DeBundo and DeBundo's digits, and we've got the prop shop for you as well, making our game picks as well as some other props along the way. All that coming up next on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up and welcome in. This is the Locked On Syracuse podcast. I'm Tyler Rocky with Tim Leonard. Today on the show, we've got Syracuse, we've got Indiana, and we thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single day, free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. Check us out there. Subscribe to us. Again, we're doing the 250 to tip off. Can we get to 250 subscribers before tip off? I think we're at like, what, 233 last I checked? So get on that. We're right around the corner. Help us out there. And even if you're subscribed to us on Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff, you can check us out there on YouTube as well. Before we do dive into basketball, one quick hitter from the social media verse of Sean Tucker. We love a good Sean Tucker tweet on this show. I think we were one of the first ones to kind of acknowledge that, hey, he's got some pretty interesting thoughts on Twitter from time to time. But he goes out and goes scorched earth, really, on Twitter this last time out. So we lost our last game, Pitt 31, Sear 14. I love that. The nitty gritty of it. I'm not pleased with the outcome of the game or the play calling. I wanted to do so much more, but I don't call the plays. Good luck to all the seniors moving on.
What a tweet.
I mean, you don't hear college kids get the liberty to say stuff like this, but I guess, Sterling, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, this one caught him right in the crotch, really, on the way out the door.
That was an all-time tweet. When you sent that to me this morning, I just burst out laughing.
It was literally right after we finished recording, too.
Right after
we finished recording. I had it sent to me, and I thought it's like someone sent you Sean Tucker 2020's tweet, and I'm like, oh, no. Is he transferring? But he goes out and just whacks Sterling on the way out the door.
Good for Sean. Do you think he knew that that was like going to blow up, or do you think I don't know how else you interpret this.
I really don't. Right. Unless he has like a parent behind the account for all these tweets, I don't get how else like. This is a voicing of frustrations that I was not expecting on a Monday morning.
Yeah. I just wonder if he just tweeted it thinking that it was just going to be like another one of his normal tweets. Yeah. And he doesn't realize that people are literally waiting on bated breath for him to tweet.
Tweet notifications on. Yeah. People love a good Sean Tucker tweet. But yeah, I mean, this was something. And listen, maybe we can dive into this later on, but I thought about this a little bit. Like, transferring is obviously an option for him. He's good enough where he could pretty much go anywhere in the country. I mean, look at what Kenneth Walker's doing. He transferred out of Wake Forest, and all of a sudden he's in the Heisman race. What if he went to Clemson? What if Sean Tucker went to Clemson?
Yeah, I can't entertain that right now. Let's talk about basketball, right?
All right, we'll talk a little basketball. Maybe we'll dive into a potential Sean Tucker transfer later on in the week. But this is an Indiana team that it's a good early season test. Both you and I knew that heading into the season, that this is going to be an Indiana team that not going to be in contention really to win the Big Ten, but certainly not the bottom of the barrel in the Big Ten. This is the perfect opponent, I feel like, for Syracuse to match up, kind of get a gauge for everything here early in the season.
Yeah, they're a good team. They're 31 on KenPom right now. Syracuse, by comparison, is 61. They've fallen to while recording this. And the thing with, I guess, Indiana right now is they haven't really played anyone. They played St. John's, which is a decent team.
St. John's is also one of those teams that look at who they've played and some of the results they've posted. Like, I think they went to overtime with NJIT the other day, close game against St. Francis. I mean, both of these teams, Indiana at least has taken care of business, right? St. John's has not. So you're kind of seeing the contrast here early in the season.
They're 6-0, Indiana is, and one of their wins was top 100 KenPom. That was the St. John's win. It was a game they got up early and then sort of somehow held on to the lead late, and I think they ended up winning by two. But it's sort of a we'll see what we're getting from Indiana on Tuesday night, because new coach Mike Woodson, the knock on the Archie Miller era was definitely they don't have shooters, and they never really would have matched up good against the zone, in my opinion, in the past 3 or 4 years under Archie Miller, because they just never had the three-point shooters. Now Mike Woodson comes in. He's done a good job of convincing guys like Trace Jackson Davis to come back, who we'll talk about. He's the key guy for them. He's an All-American type player. But he also has done a good job on the recruiting trail, and he's trying to sort of incorporate an NBA-style offense here where they actually have some shooters out there. They can space the floor. They want to get up and down and transition. And they're shooting at 36.8% from three right now against bad competition, but that's 76 in the country. So some bad teams have been shooting good against the zone so far. So this is a little bit better shooting team than what we've seen in the past from Indiana.
Yeah, still not overly impressed. I mean, I'm looking at some of the this is just returning guys back to Indiana because they weren't a good three-point shooting team last year, and they lost their top two guys three-point shooting-wise last year. But their top, what is this? What list? I have a top five returners from three-point land last year. Anthony Leal, who we might not see in this game, 30%. Christian Lander, 27%. Rob Phinisee,
he hardly plays for them right now, right? I mean, he's playing, but
Phinisee?
For a guy that was billed as a five-star, he didn't play well at all last year.
Yeah, he's been a backup with them for a good portion of the season and his career. But Phinisee, 26%. He's kind of fallen out of the rotation. Race Thompson, 20%. And then Trey Galloway, who we might not see in this game, he's at 18% from a season ago. So you bring in Xavier Johnson, pretty much a career 33% guy, Miller Kapp, a 35% guy, and then Parker Stewart, who's probably the best of the bunch at 37%, and he's shooting the lights out this year. He's shooting 46% and leads the team in attempts as well.
And he's a guy, remember, he had a game when he was at Pitt as a freshman. Yeah. First time he played Syracuse in the 2-3 zone, he went 7 for 13 from 3 and scored 23 points. So there is some history, because Xavier Johnson, I looked up his numbers. I'll give them to you real quick. He played 7 games against Syracuse's 2-3 zone while he was at Pitt. 12 points per game, 5.8 assists. And he gets in the lane. He's a very good passer. So at least, I mean, it's tough because he does have some experience against the 2-3 zone, and that's your point.
Well, yeah, both him and Stewart are both. Yeah. I mean, they were in the Pitt backcourt together once upon a time. And I was talking with one of my buddies who went to Indiana, Doug, and he said, hey, like, those guys are kind of coaching up how to play this 2-3 zone. And you're going to use that because, again, this is one of those unorthodox defenses that you're going to face that you're going to need a little bit of extra scouting for. So why not utilize that the best to your advantage? And if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong on this, we would see Xavier Johnson at the high post.
Sometimes, I think,
he would be up there from time to time. The other guy that I think could be a real problem against Syracuse from that high post area, I think Trace Jackson Davis is a guy who certainly could be there and he'll get the ball and put it on the floor. I think there's better ways to utilize him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there for a couple possessions at that spot. But Miller Kopp's a guy that sort of worries me. He's a lanky guy, like 6'7", 6'8". He can shoot that free throw line jumper, but he's a really good passer, doesn't turn the ball over. He's actually 8th in the country right now in turnover rate. So that's a name that to watch from that free throw line area, Miller Kopp, when he's in the game. He started every single game for them. So watch out for him in that high post area.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a good or a bad matchup. I think it's just going to be sort of a wait and see because I'm still torn on how good Indiana is, and there's not a lot to
That's
go
where I'm
of
at
here.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty clear that Trace Jackson Davis is the guy that makes them go. And the concern is you've got him. You've also got Race Thompson, who is not some unbelievable player, but he's a good two-way player. He's a good rebounder. He's a body that is going to be able to catch a high-low pass and score down low if the zone is vulnerable. And the key really to this game for me is Jesse Edwards and him staying out of foul trouble because he's done it 2 games in a row. We've seen 2 great Jesse games in a row, but now you go up against an All-American. I know it's a zone, so it's not like he's man-to-man, but they're going to try and get Trace Jackson Davis the ball a lot. And if we don't have a Jesse Edwards in there that is like out on the court for a good amount of time and not in foul trouble, I think there's a lot of concern for defending the high post, defending that area.
And listen, plan A, plan B, plan C, and probably plan D for Indiana is get Trace Jackson Davis the ball. I mean, in his last game against Marshall, he had 43 points.
Yeah.
43 of their 90 points came out of the hands of Trace Jackson Davis. They're going to try to feed him. But Syracuse, yeah, it's going to come down to some of that interior presence, because the three-point ball doesn't worry me as much. And when your best player is not a three-point threat on the other side and TJD, it kind of makes me feel a little bit better. Listen, we're going to learn a lot more about Indiana in this game than I think we're going to learn about Syracuse, because you're going to find out, is Indiana's defense legit? You're going to find out, okay, what's it like when they go up against some of the big boys, or at least some better competition, some power conference competition. You're going to learn a lot more about Indiana. Meanwhile, with Syracuse, kind of have a gauge on what they are so far this season.
Yeah, and if you dive more into their numbers here, so offense on KenPom for Indiana is 58, defense is 19. Again, it's kind of tough because they haven't really played a ton of competition, but yeah, when you look at how they're defending the three, how they're defending the two-point shot, I know DeBono is going to bring this up, but they lead the country in terms of two-point field goal defense right now. So you're right. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be their main emphasis, getting him involved. And you said he doesn't really shoot any, I mean, he doesn't shoot any threes, but also he can't really shoot from like 15 feet, like from that high post area very well either. So the interesting thing is, will they use him there, or will they use him as like that baseline guy that can catch lobs or maybe catch, because the high low pass was there in that Auburn game as well. Yeah. And Auburn took advantage of that.
Right. I've actually got some defensive stats. I want to poke a little bit of a hole in the IU defense when we come back. So I'll do that in just a second. But first, this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and even more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. And with NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special year-end financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA.
All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is a daily fantasy site made easy. I love it. I know you guys will as well. They are the leader in college sports daily fantasy right now. They offer more college football props and college basketball props than anyone in the world. All kinds of options, Power 5, mid-major, you name it, they're probably on there on prizepicks.com or their award-winning app. And if you're a user that is looking to deposit right now, use our promo code, which is Locked On. When you use that, you will get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use the promo code Locked On. You pick 2 to 5 players on an over-under in their projection, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. We're going to give you some prize pick numbers in just a little bit here as we dive into the prop shop. But don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. You can go over, use some of those lines that we're about to give you. Use our promo code Locked On, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
All right, before we get into the prop shop here, and we go through some of those Prize Picks numbers, let me give you some defensive stuff that I do want to say about Indiana, because we've kind of laid it out. They haven't played anyone so far. I mean, you can say St. John's all you want, but they really haven't played anyone.
And St. John's isn't terrible, right? I mean, they're 54 on KenPom.
Terrible, but like, yeah. I also, if you face Syracuse up against St. John's, I'd probably take Syracuse. Like, I don't see it. Like, at least Syracuse is taking care of some of the bad teams. Going to overtime against NJIT, like, come on, what are we doing there?
Yeah,
Playing close against St.
Colgate
Francis.
Colgate loses every night since Syracuse beat.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, right. That has not been a good look so far. That has not aged well, as the kids like to say. But let me look through. So Indiana, right now on KenPom, has a really, really strong field goal defense right now. 20th, or rather second, I should say, in the entire country for Indiana here through their first six games. However, they've played against some really bad shooting teams. I looked at the numbers. Four teams of the six that they have faced so far outside the top 265 in effective field goal percentage. So the defense there might be a little bit misleading. And when you're going up against Syracuse, a team that's got a bunch of shot makers, you might see them come really like stumbling back to earth here against this Orange team that can make shots, especially with guys' hands in their faces.
You know, the interesting thing about Syracuse, too, and looking at their numbers, I've talked about this a lot, but they're not attempting a ton of threes. We've discussed that. They're 234th in most threes per field goals attempted on KenPom, but they're shooting at 47th best in the nation. But also another interesting thing is going into the year, we would have thought Buddy and Cole are going to be our knockdown shooters, right?
Yeah.
Buddy shooting 31% from three. Cole is shooting 27% from three. It's been a little better of late, but pretty slow starts in terms of percentage for them. Gerard is shooting out of this world. We know about his start, but he's still shooting 56% through the first six games here. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy's in 42-43% neighborhood. So that's really all they have in terms of shooters. I mean, I know Benny and Torrance could maybe make a couple threes this year, but in general, those are your four guys. And I guess that's kind of encouraging that the two guys that are doing well are the two guys we were maybe worried about out of the four. But it's also like Cole's got to start getting those numbers.
Cole will. Buddy will get. Yeah. Cole's numbers are going to go up. Buddy's numbers are going to go up. Joe's are going to go down. And I'd imagine Jimmy's are going to go down.
Yeah.
And I think once you find that. Yeah. Once you find that happy medium, you'll be in a good spot, I think.
Yeah. And look, Buddy has started slow before. He's gone on slower slumps. And I think what's happening here is Cole and Buddy are just getting a lot of defensive attention, and they're not letting those guys shoot. It's pretty easy to scout against us. Maybe it's tough to go against the 2-3 zone, but offensively, it's pretty easy. You just want to stay on Buddy and Cole, and you want to try and make guys beat you off the dribble. And I think Indiana's going to try and do that, of course, against Syracuse as well.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the prop shop here. Last week, all right week, actually great week for you. What am I saying here? You went 4-1. I went 3-2. So you went up 300 last week. I went up 100. I've got the slight $50 advantage on you right now. We are each 7-9 on our picks so far. So let's get into it right here. So Syracuse over under on three pointers made. Number is set at 8.5 against this Indiana defense. What do you like here?
So they made about 8.5 threes last year, SU. They're right around 8 threes per game to this point this year. Indiana's three-point defense, they're holding teams to 25.9% from three. That's a 19th best mark in the nation. I'm a little torn. I mean, I feel like at home, this is a game where they could get to 9-10 threes just because we've been kind of waiting on that. But also, when they get up against tight, long, athletic defenses, the three-point shots just haven't really been there. So I'm going to take a slight under, and I'm pretty torn on this one.
Because you know one of these days the volume's going to kick up. One of these days they're going to go out there and shoot 27, 30 threes. And it's going to be, all right, what do you do in that game? How many of those are you going to make? And I mean, if they're going to go out there and shoot 30, you'd imagine they're going to go way above this number of 8.5, but we just haven't seen that quite yet. I'm going to ride with you. I'm going to take the under here. And I feel like I'm going to be wrong on this. I feel like this is a really tough one to take. I feel like I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to ride with you on the under here. Just because, I mean, this could be a game where they only shoot 16 of them. I mean, you're probably not going to shoot 50% from three, regardless of the flimsiness of what we might see in Indiana's defense. Like, you're just not going to shoot 50% from three in all likelihood. All right, next, Cole Swider. This is from Prize Picks. Over under 12.5 points. Where are you going on this one?
Yeah, I'll take a slight under here. I think Indiana does have a pretty solid defense, and the part that worries me about Cole Swider and Joe Girard, who we're going to talk about in a second here, is when you've got physical, athletic, in-your-face, intense defenders, sort of like what we saw against Auburn and VCU. You know, you could say Cole did have 17 points against Auburn, but it wasn't the cleanest 17 points ever, and he didn't even attempt a three in the first half. Like, I think he's been thrown off his game a little bit when he's forced to try and get things going off the dribble against tight perimeter defense. And that's what Indiana provides a little bit.
I'm wondering who's going to match up on Cole in this game. Are they going to throw Race Thompson at him? Are they going to throw Miller Kopp at him? Because I think if it's Miller Kopp, I really like my chances of going over here. And if it's Race Thompson, I like my chances a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And again, this is another one of the, this is an Indiana team that's small. I mean, for the most part, you're going to see 6'9 as the biggest guy out there on the floor with Trayce Jackson-Davis. And he's not going to come off the floor very much in this game either. So I'm looking at, I'm probably going to go with the over here on Swider 12.5. I know I've said in the past where he's going to be able to elevate over guys. I think my process and my thinking is right. Eventually the shots are going to fall. So this to me is one of those games where the shots will fall. Joe Girard, 13.5 is the number being set by Prize Picks on this one. North or south of 13.5 points for JG3.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under. I just think, I mean, they've got like Xavier Johnson is a solid defender. Rob Phinisee, if they use him at all, is a good defender. He's not a great all-around player, but they've got guys that can guard Girard tightly. Girard was really good in the last Dome game, and I think he feeds off the crowd a little bit, but 13.5 is kind of high.
I think big TV game, Joe Girard is a bit of a different animal. I think Dome, everyone's going to kind of be watching this game. This is one of the premier games that ESPN has for tomorrow. I'm going to ride with Joe Girard on the over here. And for another reason, I think him just getting back home and feeding off some of those home fans, I think that'll certainly play a factor in this as well. Trayce Jackson-Davis, they've got a number for him on Prize Picks. It's set at 19.5 points, the largest of any player in this game from Prize Picks. Trayce Jackson-Davis, 19.5. Where are you sitting on TJD?
Yeah, I'm surprised this number is 19.5 because he's averaging 20.5, which I guess is a little bit inflated because he just did score 43 points. But they played six games. He was an honorable mention AP All-American last year. He just is going to get the ball a ton in this game. And I think especially if they use him at that high post area, given the amount of touches he's going to get, given the chances of him being able to get Jesse in foul trouble. Now, I do think the zone maybe minimizes him a little bit because a lot of what he does is sort of back to the basket, fancy footwork, nice finishes. You're not going to get to do that as much, but I'm still going to take the over here because he's kind of the type of player, athletic, big, that can score and different phases around the rim that has given us fits before.
This to me is all dependent on Jesse's ability to stay out of foul trouble. Because I think if Jesse doesn't have any sort of major minutes restrictions because of foul trouble, I think Trayce Jackson-Davis hits a real roadblock in this game. But history has shown us otherwise, that Jesse Edwards is likely going to get in foul trouble in this game. Like if Prize Picks was setting his fouls over under, it's probably being set at 4.5. in this game. And I think I'd feel pretty good about taking the over. So I'm going to roll with the over here, but don't be surprised if Jesse doesn't have foul trouble. I can see Trayce Jackson-Davis getting like 13 points in this game. So we'll wait and see on all that. Last one for you, and then we'll get to some numbers with you. Who will lead Syracuse in scoring? We do this every single game. Buddy plus 120, Girard plus 210, Swider plus 210, Jimmy plus 320, Jesse Edwards plus 375. His number's taking a big dip. And then Benny plus 650 and other plus 1,000.
I'm going to take Buddy. I mean, I just took the under on Swider and Girard, so I can't be too much of a hypocrite here and try and reach for them. And I don't think Jesse has enough. I mean, I think Jesse is onto something and it's sustainable. And yeah, I do think the foul trouble is going to improve here. But in general, I think it's more reliable to take Buddy at plus 120.
I'm going to go with Girard here in this game. I think this could be one of those like 25-point Girard games. I'm not as sold on this Indiana defense as the numbers may suggest. All right, for some more numbers, let's go to Anthony DeBundo. He joins us every single week. It's DeBundo's Digits. Anthony DeBundo from the Action Network. He gives us our analytics report.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup. Stats, everybody! DeBundo's Digits. If you ain't taking stats, kick the f*** out the class. On the Locked On Syracuse podcast. All the stat of hollers, where you at? Let's
go! One of my favorite events of the year in college hoops, and even more interesting, with both conferences badly underperforming expectations early in the season, the Orange are 3-5 all-time in the challenge, losing their last two games at Rutgers and at home against Iowa the year before. So while Indiana is undefeated to begin the 2021 season, they haven't exactly run the gauntlet of opponents. They've played all their games at Assembly Hall, and the best win they have is a two-point home win against 54th-rated St. John's. The first thing you have to look at with the Hoosiers, though, is Tracy Jackson Davis, one of the best players in the country and an ideal zone buster for the Hoosiers on Tuesday night. He's not much of a long-range shooter. He doesn't shoot from beyond the arc, but he is an excellent passer and overall scorer. He takes 29% of the Hoosiers' shots, and at 6'9", he's likely to show up at the foul line in the middle of the Orange's 2-3 zone. He sits 7th in KenPom's early season Player of the Year rankings, convincing him to come back, a huge win for first-year head coach Mike Woodson. But another key player is transfer Xavier Johnson. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he played at Pitt for the last 3 years. He's a Pitt transfer who left the program amid the chaos, and he's most familiar with the zone of anyone within the Indiana program. He is due for some negative shooting regression. He won't shoot above 50% from three. In fact, he's not much of a shooter consistently at all. He is elite at getting into the lane, drawing fouls, and assisting teammates. In two games last year against the Orange, he tallied 35 points and 14 total rebounds, assists in those two games against the Orange. The Hoosiers' main rebounder is Race Thompson. He's a 6'8" forward. He's elite defensively, an elite shot blocker, an elite rebounder. He's a major reason why the Hoosiers are number one in defensive two-point field goal percentage thus far this season, and their effective field goal percentage offensively has been ticking up recently, albeit against some pretty weak opponents who are all outside of the top 100 in KenPom. The Orange's defense, as you all know, trending in the opposite direction. KenPom ranks the Orange's defense outside the top 150 in overall efficiency. The scariest part? It's probably too high. Early season ratings for KenPom factor in a lot of historical precedents where the Orange have been much better under Jim Boeheim defensively. Bart Torvik's ratings have them all the way down at 181 defensively. It's actually below the national average of all 358 teams in the country. Both would be the worst defense that Boeheim has ever had since KenPom began tracking the data in 2002. This was a true at a brief point last year, too, before improvements came. Don't count out SU after a bad 10-day stretch, but the personnel clearly is going to struggle to stop people all year again. The Hoosiers are a much more physical team. They should dominate the interior and force SU to make shots to compete. In many ways, it's not that different from the handicap between last year's game between Syracuse and Rutgers, except that this time Syracuse is at home, they'll be in front of a full crowd, and the Hoosiers have not played a true road game in a packed gym in a long time. They're very inexperienced. They rank 318th in experience, and the Orange have to hit them early to take advantage and get the crowd into it. Indiana does have a significant depth advantage. They rank 58th in bench minutes compared to the Orange, who are 334th, and they have a significantly better defense, the best player on the court, and the length to frustrate the Syracuse shooters. It's another tough matchup for the Orange, and I think they may drop just another game. It's good to be back with the Bundo's Digits as basketball season is now in full effect.
Our thanks, as always, to Anthony DeBundo. He gives us our analytics report every single game. And now that football is over, he's going to be with us every single game. Looking forward to all that. By the way, speaking of some analytics stuff, have you seen, you threw out some great stats on our Twitter account about offensive rating and Jesse and how he has one of the best. Benny has the worst in the ACC among qualified players. No one knew what offensive rating meant. I mean, I think we got the one Ron Burgundy, like, you know, I don't speak Spanish. So I thought that was pretty funny, but
I'll summarize it. Basically, he hasn't been great on offense. Offensive. You get a rating for how well you're performing on offense. I'm sure KenPom can give a better definition, but it seems
it's largely efficiency based.
Efficiency. Yeah. Right. And I think Jesse, when you're a big man, like Trace Jackson Davis probably is pretty high up there in this category. Usually it's a little easier for someone like Jesse than a Joe Girard probably to succeed in the metric. But Benny's rating is mostly dependent on the fact that he's turning the ball over a lot based on the amount of touches he's getting.
It hurts based off of turnovers a lot. And you can tell if, especially with the bigs, like I remember back when Adoka Azubuike was with Kansas, he always had a stellar offensive rating because he shot like 70% from the field for the whole season. So obviously the efficiency metrics play a large part in it, but I found that to be pretty funny. It reminds me, like, you don't necessarily know how the sausage is made with offensive rating. Both you and I, we couldn't give you the full breakdown of it. We just use it because it sounds cool. It's like PFF. Like, we don't know how all the metrics that go into PFF grades, but it sounds good and it looks smart, so we use it. And I think it helps. Like, it's a pretty good indication as well. So we're going to continue to use offensive rating and all of that stuff. Like, listen, people don't know how slugging percentage is calculated all the time. The average baseball fan doesn't know how that's calculated, but they use it. They like their triple slash lines. So All right, when we come back, we will pick this game, Syracuse with the line, and also the over-under that we're seeing heading into this matchup as well. But first, you listen to podcasts for the power of the inside track. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you can get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to the latest episodes of the Locked On Syracuse podcast and keep up with your favorite players and teams. The power of three unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can share all the insights. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that edge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details.
And before we give you guys the betonline.ag spread and over-under for this game, you can go to BetOnline right now and bet on it as well as we dissect what we're thinking for the line. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head over to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Some serious savings there if you use our promo code that is locked on, all one word, to receive your 50% welcome bonus for basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the games start.
Time to dive into our picks here. BetOnline.ag feeds us the line every single week. And for this one, it is currently Syracuse +1.5. However, if you are an orange bettor and want to back your boys, and maybe you're going to the game, you like a little bit of live action while you're at the game, I'd wait a little bit. Because right now the juice is on Indiana in the -1.5. Looks like it might move to 2. Maybe by the time you wake up and listen to this, it's 2.5, maybe even 3. So Syracuse +1.5. KenPom has this right now as a 1-point Indiana win. So where do you sit on this one? Syracuse +1.5.
It's just hard to pick Syracuse right now based on what we've seen. And I think Indiana's physical. I think they're a pretty aggressive, up-tempo type of offense. I'm sort of buying what Mike Woodson is selling. This is kind of our first real game, as we've mentioned, to see if he can bring it on the road and he can teach his team how to play against a 2-3 zone. But the fact that Xavier Johnson, Parker Stewart are there to kind of help them maybe ease that transition. They didn't go to the battle for Atlantis, but maybe they've been a little more rested than Syracuse recently. I mean, the dome crowd is kind of the only thing that is really going for Syracuse. And as DeBundo mentioned, if Syracuse gets up early and they get the crowd involved, they could run away from Indiana. I'm not saying this isn't a game they can win, but I see why the line is set that way. And I think Trace Jackson Davis is a matchup problem. And I think they're going to out-rebound us and they can shoot the three a little bit.
The one thing I will say is that the Big Ten ACC Challenge historically has sort of been a wake-up call for teams that have kind of coasted through. I mean, we see it all the time with Syracuse. They are playing well. They're beating up on some of these cupcake teams. And then, boom, they get hit with the Big Ten ACC Challenge and lay an egg. That could be the case. I think that's something that's working in favor of Syracuse because they've already played teams that are better than this Indiana team. Indiana has not played a team, in my opinion, that is better than Syracuse so far. We can split hairs on St. John's, but they didn't look great in that St. John's game either. And they've been coasting a little bit past some of these other cupcakes. So I am also going to roll with you. I'm going to pick Indiana on this one, but I would not be shocked. There's a reason this line is 1.5, and it's a very narrow margin. Syracuse is the home team in this one, too. But right now, you're right. It is very tough to pick Syracuse, so I'm going to go with Indiana and the 1.5.
Yeah, in terms of the over-under, it's 145 on betonline.ag. So we're 2-1 on picking these. We didn't get to pick the Battle for Atlantis games because the schedule was so rapid there. But we have, I looked, every game we've been in agreement picking the over. I think the Drexel game was the one we missed on. Colgate was an easy over that they smashed and was right around 145.
Felt like Colgate might do it themselves.
Yeah, right. I struggle to just keep picking the over. It feels like it's sort of a trap that But I just don't see many Syracuse games going under this year. I think one thing that might actually help Syracuse and might help them getting up some more three-point shots is the fact that Indiana likes to play in transition. And really the only time that we saw some clean looks from three against these good defenses they played out there, taking away Arizona State, but VCU, Auburn, was when they were in transition. Like Gerard hit a couple of those in transition. They got Buddy a couple looks. Maybe that helps them, the fact that the game will be sped up a little bit and they can get into sort of quick instinctive passing and get to the three more. So that's just one of the reasonings why I think this probably will go over. The other is I think Indiana is going to be able to score on Syracuse's defense.
Yeah, I think Indiana will be able to score for sure. And I think Syracuse also is going to be able to score. I don't think the defense is quite made out to what it is for on the Indiana side of things. And another thing, you brought up that transition. This Indiana team turns the ball over a lot, a lot. You've got some flimsy guards that aren't great at handling the basketball. So I would look out for Syracuse to get into transition a little bit. They're also not a very good offensive rebounding team either, which I know everyone thinks, oh, that's second chance points. Like, what, you're taking away points. No, but it also, when you get into offensive rebounding type of games, like, well, I always say the offensive rebounding is the under's best friend. And because it resets the shot clock, you slow down a little bit, especially against the Syracuse zone. You'll slow everything down a little bit. Shot clock resets to 20. So I like the over in this game. My one hesitation would be Indiana's not a good free throw shooting team. I don't know if you've seen some of these numbers, but they were bad last year. They're shooting about 67% this year. So we could see a lot of Brent Axe free throws matters tweets during this game because Indiana's a team that doesn't take any pride in free throws matter. Meanwhile, Syracuse on the other side does capitalize. So the Syracuse free throw defense might be strong in this one. Might be pretty strong in this one. They might get some good luck finally.
And the other thing is, real quick, just got to stop the three. I mean, it's a key for the rest of time until they prove that they're improving there. Like, looking at the numbers, 12 and a half threes per game is what Syracuse is allowing right now. I would say if Indiana gets to 10 threes, 11 threes, they're winning this game. And they can also win the game by getting Jesse in foul trouble and, you know, getting down low and doing Trace Jackson Davis things down there. But they want to play like a four out, one in type offense. And they're going to try and get it to the corner. They're going to try and get 3-point looks. And I mean, Auburn, like these teams that were making threes in the battle for Atlantis, we're not good shooting teams. We don't really know if Indiana's good, but I don't think they're quite as bad as those teams. So that's a concern.
I think this is a great game. I really do. I think this is going to be a fantastic game. I think it could be played in the 80s too, which is certainly exciting. It's just going to be a good basketball game, in my opinion. Could be frustrating for Syracuse, but I think it's going to be a good basketball game for sure.
Yeah, I think it, look, if we've said it all along, maybe this team will just be fun at the very least. They're probably not going to be anything better than a bubble team at this point, but if they're up and down, they're making threes, they're winning some home games, they're upsetting some teams, at least they'll be a little bit more fun than some of the other iterations of Syracuse when they were just, it was a race to 60 points and so on.
Right. You had people like in the standing clap out of the gate. People were clapping at the under 12 timeouts still. It was like, oh, what are we doing here? All right. That is going to do it for today's preview episode of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. We will be back to recap everything with you guys tomorrow morning. Cannot wait for this game. Going to be one of the premier matchups of the Big Ten ACC Challenge, so be on the lookout for that recap podcast first thing in your feeds on Wednesday morning. For Tim, I'm Tyler. Talk to you guys then.